This morning's sermon is called Jesus Identifies His Betrayer from John chapter 13, verses 18 through 30, as we continue our journey through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. This passage took place on the Thursday evening at the Lord's Supper, the day before Jesus went to the cross. This is when Jesus and his disciples gathered for the evening meal before the Passover. Biblical scholars believe that chapters 13 through 17 of John's Gospel all took place in the upper room where the Lord's Supper had taken place. And John recorded lots of things for us that the Lord said to his disciples on that evening. So let's go ahead, let's pick up where we left off. If you brought your Bible with you, please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. You can also follow along on the wall if you'd like. Let's go through the Word of God. Let's look at verses 18 through 20. Jesus said, "I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he, says the Lord." Jesus continued with, "Most assuredly I say to you, He who receives whoever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." Amen. Boy, there's a lot right there in this. These are the three verses. Wow. Lot of information right here. We left off 2 weeks ago in our passage with Jesus saying, "For I have given you an example." This is our passage from 2 weeks ago. He said that you should do as I have done for you. He's our example, the Lord. And he continued, "Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent is greater than he who sent him." Jesus finished by saying, "If you know these things, blessed are you who do them." Jesus told them, do this in our last passage. He says, love one another. Serve one another. Care for one another. Humble each other. Speaking of the 11 disciples, not Judas. And now in verse 18 of our passage this morning, Jesus turns from the 11 disciples and he says, "I do not speak concerning all of you." Speaking of Judas. I'm not promising all of you blessings. Speaking of Judas Iscariot. Then Jesus said something very important. "I know the ones whom I have chosen." In other words, I know the ones who I have chosen and the one who I didn't. Speaking of Judas. Jesus, being God, knows everything. He knows the ones who have received him here on earth, and the ones who have rejected him. He says, "I know who you are." Very powerful. "I know what's in your heart. I know you," says the Lord. Back in chapter 10 of John's Gospel, we read Jesus saying, "My sheep, right, hear my voice, and I know them." and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them from my hand, says the Lord. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them from my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. He tells, my sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Powerful words from the Lord, right? Here, Jesus says, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, look at, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Again, speaking of Judas, the betrayer. Judas did what he did because he was a son of the devil. He did what he did because he spiraled down until Satan took control of his life totally. Right? I want you to know this. The battle for your soul begins in your mind. If Satan controls your thoughts, he'll control your destiny. That's very important to know, okay? Let me just say it one more time, right? The battle for your soul begins in your mind. If Satan can control your thoughts, he'll control your destiny. This is what he did to Judas Iscariot. Judas's heart was not right with God, which made him a very easy target for the devil. He was very vulnerable to the devil's temptations. Therefore, he was the chosen one. He was the chosen one. Look at what we just read. So that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me, Jesus said, has lifted up his heel against me. He was the chosen one. For this very reason, because his heart was not right with God, he was an easy target for Satan, and Satan took control of his whole life, and God said, you have been chosen for this. Jesus quoted Psalm 41:9. It says, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Psalm 41:9, Jesus quotes. Jesus quotes the Old Testament all the time. He quotes more quotes in Leviticus than anything. And Psalms, which he just did, Psalm 41:9. Jesus told the 11 disciples, I tell you before it comes. He's talking about his crucifixion. This is the Thursday before he goes to the cross. But it's all these chapters are, okay? He says, I tell you before it comes that when it does come to pass, when you see me crucified, hanging on the cross, that you may believe that I am he. I am the Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, the Messiah. Why did Jesus say this to them, these 11 disciples? Because his 11 disciples were very fragile in their faith. They were still struggling, right? You hear Jesus always says, oh, you of little faith. That's what he says about you and I when we start doubting. Oh, you of little faith. Their faith was very fragile, and he was about to be crucified on the cross, and he knew they were going to be so distraught. They're like, he's the Messiah. What do you mean he's hanging on a cross? Jesus was like, when you see what's going to happen to me, I don't want you to have any doubts. And all of a sudden, you question whether or not I am God. He says, I tell you before it comes, so when it comes, you may believe that I am he, the one I've been telling you, I am. Powerful. He's like, do not be alarmed. This is all part of God's divine plan. Do not be alarmed when you see me hanging on the cross. I came for this purpose, to save and seek the lost. When you see me crucified, 3 days later, I will rise from the dead, just like I have been telling you. And you will know, look at this, and you will know that I am He, Yahweh, says the Lord God Almighty. Powerful, huh? I love this book. I love this book. Sometimes I try not to wind myself up too much. I'm just so moved by the Word of God. I am moved. I've read these scriptures hundreds of times, and I'm still moved by the Word of God. God's Word to you and me. Just like John read, it is medicine to our bones, to our flesh. You don't feel good, pick your Bible up. Start reading. Then Jesus said something else very important. He said something very important to them and for us to know. He said, most assuredly I say to you, which means you can trust us. Whenever Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, it means listen up. You can count on this. He says, he who receives whomever I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me, the Father. Listen, Jesus is saying, when I send you and me out to the world to share the gospel, the good news, right? He says, and when they receive you in my words, they receive me. And if they receive me, they receive him who sent me. Right? You're sharing the gospel with people, and they're like, oh, tell me more about the Lord. They receive you. They receive God's word. He says, they receive me too. And they receive him who sent me. He's telling them because these disciples are going to have to go share the gospel with the world. Just when he's gone, right? When he's gone to heaven, go back to be with the Father. And he's telling them and he's telling us, now you go. And if anyone receives you, they receive me too. Jesus told us in our last passage, he says, I want you to love one another, serve one another, care for one another, humble each other, but you also have a commission way beyond this, okay? The Father has sent me, and I send you. And whoever receives you receives me and the Father. You hear what he said, right? I send you, whomever I send, Jesus says, you, believers in Christ, out to share my word. When you do that and they receive you in my words, they receive me. As a believer in Christ, we're part of God's plan. Even if it's just leaving a little track at the coffee shop, thanking the waitress, thank you, God bless, have a good day, and leave a track back. We've got a ton of them back there. They've been here. They're getting dust on them. Give them out. They're not doing us any good here. You guys are believers. Go share them. Coffee shop. Restaurants. Me and Frank just had breakfast at the Tilton Diner the other day. Leaving tracks for the waitress. We're talking about people's souls. Let's take a look at verse 21 through 24. Then John wrote, when Jesus had said these things, look at this, he was troubled in the spirit and testified, which means he declared, testify, I declare, and said, most assuredly I say to you, says it again, one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom Jesus spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom, his side, one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. John is writing about himself. He never refers to himself as John. He says the disciple or the other disciple that Jesus loved. He wants you to know that. All right? He says, and he's writing about himself. Right? He says, there was one leaning over there. It's me. I was leaning up against Jesus, the one Jesus loves. The one whom Jesus loved. You know, if that's the only thing that you're known for, the one that Jesus loved, hallelujah. If all that people know about you is that you're a believer of Christ, you love Jesus, and he loves you, they don't need to know anything else. They don't need your resume. They don't need to say, well, every place you've been around the world, that's rubbish in the end. Come on. They need to know you love Christ. And you want to share him with them. And that's what John says. I'm the disciple Jesus loved. That's all you need to know about me. Man, I love that. I highlighted that too. Verse 24, look at this. Simon Peter, therefore, mentioned to John to ask who it was whom Jesus spoke. But did you notice John wrote, Jesus was troubled in the spirit. And he testified and said, most assuredly I say to you, one of you is going to betray me. Jesus was probably troubled in the spirit often, being in the presence of Judas. He was one of the disciples that had been walking with them for 3 years, saw all the miracles, heard his word, and Jesus knew he was a traitor. Probably troubled him in the spirit. Jesus was probably troubled in the spirit because he knew where Judas was going to spend eternity after this life, an everlasting punishment, a place of torment, which the Bible calls hell. He was probably troubled in the spirit, knowing that's where this man was going. He was probably troubled in the spirit by the sin that he saw in Judas. It probably troubled the Lord. He knew every time when Jesus lied. He knew every time when Judas took money from the money box. He knew everything about Judas Iscariot, and he knows everything about you and me. Everything. The good, the bad, and the ugly. He knows it all. You're not hiding one thing from the Lord. I'll tell you right now. Not one thing are you going to cover up before the Lord dies. Jesus sees it all. Nothing gets by God. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what's on your mind. He knows how you live your life. He knows, listen, he knows how you treat other people. He knows how much time we spend with him every day, whether praying or reading his word, fellowshipping with him. He knows every second. Listen, God keeps good records in heaven. Everything is recorded. Everything. You notice in our text it says the disciples? This is something, huh? It says the disciples looked at one another and were perplexed, like, who is Jesus talking about? I hope it's not me. The disciples didn't even realize that it was Judas that Jesus was talking about. They still had no clue. We're talking the day before going to the cross. These guys don't have a clue. No one, not one of these disciples pointed to Judas and said, gotta be him. It's gotta be Judas, that thief. My money's on Judas. I guarantee it's him. No. They said, who is it? I hope it's not me, Lord. Isn't that fascinating? You can be around the Son of God, God in the flesh, for 3 years, and you can see everything unfolding, and you still don't even know who is the traitor. If you brought your Bible with you, I want you to turn to Matthew 26. I shared this passage with you before. This is on the same night Matthew records this in his gospel. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 26. Same night, Matthew is recording. Matthew 26. Same night, Lord's Supper. When they were trying to figure out, oh, who is the Lord talking about? It's one of us. Go down to verse 20. Matthew 26, verse 20. I'm going to read down to verse 25. Listen to the Word of God. Here's Matthew's recorded words. When evening had come, Jesus sat down with the 12, same night. Now, as they were eating, Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." He's recording the same thing John was recording, okay? And they were exceedingly sorrowful, they, not Judas, they. And each of them began to say to Jesus, "Lord, is it I?" Verse 23 says, Jesus answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed." Listen to this. "It would have been good for that man had he not been born." Verse 25 says, then Judas, who was betraying Jesus, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" Jesus said to him, "You have said it." Wow. You have said it. The 11 disciples didn't have a clue that it was Judas that Jesus was talking about. Let me just tell you what's going on here. A wolf among sheep. And didn't even know it. That's how deceiving it can be for you to go to a church that's not preaching God's word to be deceived. And many are doing it. 3 years around Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, 3 years, same disciples, a wolf among the sheep, and they didn't even know it. That's how powerful the devil is. I want you to notice something. I shared this with you before. Maybe you weren't here for that service. I want you to notice something right here. Did you notice that 11 of the disciples said, "Lord, is it I?" But Judas said, "Rabbi, is it I?" Judas never confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord. He viewed Jesus as just a teacher. "Rabbi, teacher, is it I?" Never confessed, "Lord, is it I?" During the Lord's Supper, I want you to notice what it says, right? John recorded in a passage that the disciples looked perplexed, which means they were confused and they were disturbed to whom it may be that was going to betray Jesus. Now, during the Lord's Supper, John sat on Jesus' right, okay? Judas sat on Jesus' left, okay? So Peter, who was beside John on the other side, as we just read, he leans over to John and he says, "Hey, John, who is Jesus talking about? Ask him. You're next to him." Right? "Come on, John. You're sitting next to Jesus. Find out who it is." Let's see what happens next. Let's look at verse 25 and 27. John listens to Peter. Look what it says. He says, then leaning back on Jesus' chest, he says, he's listening to Peter. "Okay, I'll try to find out." He, John, said to Jesus, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it." And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon Iscariot. Now, after the piece of bread, look at this. Satan entered Judas. Not a good place to be. Then Jesus said to Judas, "What you do, do it quickly." Wow. So John listened to Peter. He leans over and he probably whispered to Jesus, "Lord, who is it? I hope it's not me." They didn't even know. And then Jesus identifies his betrayer in front of all of them, none other than Judas Iscariot. He dips the bread, he gives it. There's the betrayer right there. And after taking the piece of bread, Satan, it says, the word of God, entered Judas. Now, only Jesus would know this, being God. He would be the only one and told his disciples that Satan, right? It says, entered Judas. We're not talking about messing with you. Entering the soul of a person. Listen, we read back in verse 2 of this chapter that the devil put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot. So he just put it in the heart. Now at the supper, he enters him. He takes full possession of Judas, the devil. And then Jesus said to Judas, "What you do, do quickly." Almost to say, "Judas, hurry up, the time is short. I'm going to the cross soon." Judas, let me just tell you this right here. Judas would never see another day. Hung himself in the morning before the break of day. This is a powerful passage, huh? You guys with me on this? Okay, you're not falling asleep, right? This is powerful. This is the word of God coming alive. I'm moved as I'm reading it. Let's look at our final three verses. Verses 28 and 30, John wrote, "But no one at the table knew for what reason Jesus said this to Judas." Still didn't have a clue. "For some thought because Judas had the money box," he was the treasurer, wrong guy to be the treasurer, "that Jesus had said to him, 'Buy those things what we need for the feast.'" This is what they're thinking. "Or that he should give something to the poor." No, he used to steal from the poor. "Having received a piece of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night, and he never saw another day." The disciples may not have heard the private conversation between Jesus and Judas, because they still didn't have a clue. They thought, Judas, okay, he's going to get the money box. Maybe he's going to get some money to the poor. I don't know. They didn't have a clue. Judas went out immediately, it says, and it was night. 2,000 years later, he still hasn't seen the light of day. 2,000 years later, he still hasn't seen the light of day. He chose to reject Jesus, and he's been in hell for over 2,000 years. This is some sober words, right? 2,000 years. A soul never dies. Scripture's clear. You go on to live in one or two places, heaven or hell, depending on your relationship with Jesus Christ. It is clear as day in the Scripture. He's separated from God's grace by his choice. And at the end of verse 30, it says, "And it was night." This is more than a time reference right here. In John's gospel, light and darkness are major symbols in the Scriptures. Jesus represents the light, the truth, the light. Darkness represents evil, unbelief, separation from God. Judas literally goes out into the night, symbolizing his spiritual departure from Jesus. You know, Judas had many opportunities. He'd been walking with God for 3 years. It's like you come to church 40 years, you don't come to Christ, surrender your life, it doesn't matter. God's not looking for churchgoers. He's looking for disciples. Amen? You can sit in church 40 years and end up in hell. I'm sorry. That's the word of God. He had many opportunities to come to the Lord with all his heart and soul and place all his faith and trust in Christ. And listen, follow after Jesus. But he didn't. He may have been a good listener. Oh, that sounds good. But are you following? What did Jesus say in Luke 9, 23? I haven't quoted this in a while. I quoted it many times. You guys probably know it well. What Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, right? You know the rest? He must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Those are Jesus' words, not Sean's. Luke 23. He's not looking for churchgoers, my friends. He's looking for disciples. He's looking for disciples. I'll close with this. If you have a hard time sharing God's word with your loved ones, for whatever reason, please invite them to church so I can. Okay? If for whatever reason you can't get through, you've been beating them on the head with a bat and they just don't get it, please invite them to church so I can share it. We're talking about people's souls for eternity. Amen? All right, let's close in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking into our hearts this morning on this day that you have made. Wow, Lord, what powerful words for us to know and stand on, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for leading us here at First Baptist Church. This is your church, Lord. This isn't our church. This is your church. You must increase. We must decrease. You must lead the way. So, Father, we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.